Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Well, welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. I am so thrilled to introduce you to Kenny Mack, who is the principal designer and co-owner of Indig Design, a majority Indigenous-owned creative services studio specializing in website, print, and digital graphic design. Indig Design serves clients from across Canada and the United States. Kenny, thank you for being here.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for the honor.
Cool. So every person in this industry has a great origin story. I'd love to hear yours. How did you get into the great work that you're now doing?
Oh, it's a funny one. You know, I followed my father into the sales arena back when I was in my early 20s. He was in the construction supply business, selling windows and siding to home builders and suppliers. So I kind of followed his lead and went into that. And it really wasn't my forte. It really wasn't there, but I was too young. I didn't really understand where I was supposed to be. And through that, I had eventually found my way into new home sales and working for custom home builders. I found through some downtime that, well, first off, the last builder that I was working for just didn't have the budget for great point of sale material. Their signage was terrible. Their logo was just terrible. And their website really needed some work. And so through my downtime during those hours, I started to look into the creative aspect, design. And I was even starting to work with my clients on designing homes for them and drawing them up by hand, because we're a custom home builder. So what I ended up doing was basically starting to design point of sale material that I needed in order to be successful in that career. And so through the process, I designed all of the floor plans and show home materials that would be up on the walls. We did a new logo for them, and I started to do a website for them, but it got to the point where there was a little bit of tension and they really didn't want to pay me for it. And being that I was on a straight commission basis, my time was mine. They didn't feel that they needed to pay me for it. And so I took my design and I walked away and really reevaluated my career choices and what I really wanted to enjoy. And it really came down to the fact that when I was designing this material for this builder, I found that I was really enjoying the process. I really loved doing the work. And so I really started to do a lot of research, do a lot of studying on the industry. I had a fairly intensive background for probably, oh heck, almost 25 years in marketing. I just didn't enjoy it. And not in that aspect. That was really, you know, a lot of the old school way of selling. It was hard numbers, quotas, just get the dollar in the door. And that's not really where I came from. I'm more of a heart guy, and I really am interested in my clients, and I want to build a relationship with them. And that type of an industry at that time just didn't allow for that. So I decided that we're going to go out on our own and start doing this. And so we started small. We had a couple of acquaintances that wanted some websites done and so on. And so we went through that learning experience and we did a number of small jobs and so on. And then eventually my wife got to the point, and she's the indigenous aspect of our company. And that's why we're Indig Design, because we're only partially indigenous. And her career was coming to an end at the University of Alberta. And so we decided to go out and start up our own design company that was majority indigenous owned. And that's where we are today.
Amazing.
You know, it's just great. We just love it.
Tell me about the logo, Indig Design logo, what you've done there with the red and the feather.
If you understand logo design, simplicity and memorability, recognizable mark is really important. And so we wanted to reflect not only in the name Indig, but also using the feather as the eye, but keeping it really simple, something that's recognizable. And so that's where that came about, was still having some indigenous reference to the logo, but keeping it completely clear and just using a text-based logo design is where we established that.
That's incredible. What's the process you take for building a website, designing a website, that you make sure that the client's story and values actually come through? Because that is an art. It's a science involved. What's are you able to share any of your secret sauce, your secret cooking methods?
Yeah, it really comes down to developing relationships with our customers. You know, as I mentioned before, I'm really genuinely interested in our client's story and what their intended outcome needs to be. We want to know more. We ask a lot of questions. We want to know the problems that they're encountering, the struggles that they're experiencing, and the goals that they want to achieve. It's really the bottom line. So as we get to know them, we establish what their values are and what they would deem as a success. It's not up to us. It's not about our company, Indig Design. It's about their company, their goals, their successes. So that leads us to our solutions. And our design framework is almost developed subconsciously. It's about being in a state of mind that makes the design become inevitable. And in a lot of cases, it really does take time for me as a principal designer to actually find quiet time to reflect on the struggles and the problems that the customer has brought to me. And we just let that stew in the mind, and eventually ideas start coming from that. So there does need to be some reflective time, some meditating time to allow that to happen. So that's kind of our process, is doing that, is really understanding our customer and developing a relationship with them and making sure that we advocate for them and not for us. It's really important that they're front and center.
I feel like you do some slow cooking versus microwave.
There is some slow cooking there. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of where the seed grows.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Is there any project that you're particularly proud of? The impact that design had, the client's business, something that you're like, man, this was just so awesome what we did here.
Actually, you know, two come to mind. The first one was an Emmy Award-winning sports broadcaster out of Florida. And he was facing the fact that his contract with the Golf Channel was expiring and they weren't renewing it just because the company was going in a different direction. So he was really facing the unknown of freelancing. And so he came to us to design a personal professional website that featured audio and video of his career accomplishments that could possibly attract new opportunities. So since the website was launched, he has since started a very successful podcast. I think he's up to episode number 43, where he interviews sports media insiders. So it's people that he's worked with over his career. It's called Media Credentials, How the Sausage is Made in Sports Media. And he posts that on the website that we created for him. So he's really pleased with the progress of where his career has taken him and what his website's been able to do for him. And so we're really, really quite pleased with that. The other design project that we have been working on is an Indigenous tourism startup that wanted to offer Indigenous workshop experiences on Indigenous land in the educational tourism industry. So we just recently launched the e-commerce workshop phase of their project, and actually just a couple of days ago, and they are super excited about tourists coming to experience their cultural way of life. And so we're really, really proud of that project.
It's amazing. Yeah. And we'll have to put those links in the show notes for sure, so sure. People can check those both out. Storytelling. We hear about that a lot. The term narrative. How does that work in design? How do you see storytelling play out in the work that you do in designing websites?
You know, we're communicators. Marketers are communicators. You know, some people do marketing and advertising. Some people do it in social media. We do it through graphic design. Everybody has a story to tell about themselves and what they do. Our job is to really listen, to really hear their story, their passion, and then we develop that into something that resonates with their audience. So it's also understanding their audience and who they are. Our purpose is to generate interest and excitement and help our customers attain the results they've identified as important. So that's sort of the process that we use.
Amazing. And when you're doing it, you know, one of the things today is about being accessible, being inclusive to diverse audiences, especially Indigenous communities. How do you make sure that you're doing that in your design and when you're building the site and when you go to launch the site?
Well, again, that comes from listening really deeply, asking many questions. We really need to understand what our customers are trying to achieve and what roadblocks they've encountered along the way. And what can we do to remove those roadblocks? You know, it's about creating user experience that's accessible regardless of need, ability, or background. The design has to be intuitive to navigate, ensuring that key information is easily locatable just to reduce the viewer's cognitive load. And maybe even using assistive technologies such as screen readers. Inclusive content can include, you know, using culturally sensitive and appropriate language, maybe avoiding exclusionary or biased language, and diversifying the use of visuals through the content. So there's really a difference between accessible and inclusive. And so we really pay attention to that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And again, I don't remember when the first website was made. I remember being though in elementary school and making GeoCities websites.
Yep.
And I think Angel Fire and all those were, but GeoCities was where I hung out. But there's been a lot of new trends, emerging trends in website design, you know, now with like Weebly and Squarespace and Wix. What do you see? And from your lens, which is a brilliant lens in what you're able to see day to day, what do you see shaping the future of the web industry?
Well, the funny thing is, you know, when you talk about GeoCities and you know, where it all started and where we are today, it's obvious that, you know, trends are constantly changing. Mm-hmm. And we really need to stay on top of what is coming up. Sometimes we push the boundaries and maybe, you know, we can create a trend. Things that we're seeing are custom illustrations are becoming really important. Pulling inspiration from print and other traditional art formats. You know, gone are the days of the cookie cutter stock images and clip art and that sort of thing. You know, custom illustrations really make a brand unique and they increase the brand awareness. So that's one of the trends that we're seeing. The other trend is full page headers on websites. They're becoming very modern. They include key call to action buttons. And it's really important to pay attention that those are located on the left side of the page with eye-catching images on the right, because readers tend to focus most of their attention on the top left of a page. And so being aware of where a particular viewer is going to be looking and where their attention is important for us to be able to place elements in the right place. You know, one of the other trends that we're seeing is web design is heading back to minimalism, you know, with purposeful white space, you know, flowing from one element to the next. We're finding that white space allows the viewer's eyes to rest and identify the website's hierarchy. And so those were a few of the trends that we're seeing and implementing in our designs.
It's amazing. And I know, you know, it may not be one that you've done yourself, but is there any websites out there that you just love? You love going back to and you just enjoy it? Maybe just the how easy it is to navigate, or just the look and feel it gives you, or maybe a website that was memorable that may not exist anymore.
You know, I have trouble with websites that I love because there's so many of them, but I can tell you about a number of them that I just don't like. And maybe it's because I'm a little bit older, but I'm finding that a lot of websites are using a lot of the elements that I just finished talking about.
Yeah.
But the relevant content that I'm looking for is really difficult to find, or it's non-existent. And, you know, you can go to the Google store or the Apple website or that sort of thing. And trying to find exactly what you're looking for is like pulling teeth. And so that's something that really bothers me. And it's something that we definitely try to avoid in our designs. We want to make sure when we go back to accessible, you know, your accessible website design question, it's really about allowing the user experience to be easy. It's about being easy, about understanding what the audience is looking for and providing that information in a logical place. So that's about, you know, not to sit on the negative side of things, but that's what I pay attention to most, more than what websites do I really like.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But like, it'd be fun to like do a thing where you like pull up like 10 different sites and then you just like judge them. Like what's good, what's bad. You know what I mean? Like kind of like Project Runway style, like but for the internet.
And actually there's a lot of YouTube videos out there that are critiquing website designs.
Okay.
And those are a lot of fun to watch in having them pull apart a really great website and showing where the issues are. So yeah, it would be real fun to do something like that.
Now those that are listening and or watching and curious about, hey, I've never hired an indigenous vendor before. I've never worked with an indigenous company. Maybe give some encouragement or what are the benefits of it? What would you say to people that are indigenous curious?
Well, indigenous people are really no different than anyone else. Those that apply themselves, just like anyone else, do fantastic work. I think the benefit of working with an indigenous company is the fact that you're doing economic reconciliation. You know, you're including the indigenous community in your business or in your project. And I think that's a really great first step into participating in reconciliation. So, you know, me not being an indigenous person, but being involved in an indigenous community as deeply as I am, you know, and standing back, I certainly see a lot of that. And there's a lot of great companies that are participating in that economic reconciliation, and they're reaping a lot of benefits from it.
It's amazing. I'm going to ask some rapid fire questions. You ready for this?
Okay.
What was your first ever job?
Well, other than being a paper boy, because I think we all were, my first real job was a ski technician.
Okay.
So I worked in a sports shop, waxing skis, installing bindings, that sort of thing.
Night owl or early bird?
What do you think?
I'm going to go with night owl. Usually designers are night owls. Okay.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. I get most of my work done and I can get into that state of creativity when things are quiet, the phone isn't ringing, the emails aren't popping off. I get a ton of work done in the night.
Yeah. Amazing. Cat or dog person?
Dogs for me. Unless the cat's on a farm.
Yes. Okay.
For me, a cat's attitude just bugs me. Yeah. I just can't handle it.
Awesome. What was the first thing that you ever marketed?
Lemonade?
Hey.
How's that?
That's great. Do you remember the first website that you made?
The very first website that I did was for a music festival.
Okay.
They had been struggling with the guy that had been managing theirs, and it was so dated and so out of place. And we turned it into an e-commerce site that sold their tickets. They didn't have to go through a third party anymore. They didn't have to pay any fees or commissions. And they're still using it today. And that was 15, 20 years ago.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Dark or milk chocolate?
Milk, man. Dark's for the ladies. I'm a chocolate fiend. My wife has to hide it.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. What is your favorite word right now?
I don't think I can say that.
Okay. It's all good.
That might be the most used word that I use. It's not my favorite. I think my favorite is probably yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I say yes to almost everything.
What is the last charity you supported financially or with your time, and why?
My wife and I, we both support CKUA Radio.
Okay, cool.
We're both musicians. We both play in a band together. We love great music. CKUA has awesome variety of music and a great community of people.
Okay.
So, and we also play music for free at seniors' residence almost every month. So
that's amazing. What's a movie that you just love you could watch over and over and over and over again?
Well, here I'm going to date myself a little bit in the fact that this will relate to the music, some of the music that we enjoy. Mm-hmm. It has to be Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Nice.
We just love that time period and that music and so on. But I'll mention one that really sticks with me. And it's not really a movie, but it's a series. I think it's on Netflix right now. It's called The Kindness Diaries.
Okay.
And it's about a man that travels the world only by the kindness of strangers. He's actually a former stockbroker that has more money than he knows what to do with. But he goes out on this little wreck of a motorcycle, and he travels the world, and he only does it through the kindness of strangers. So if he needs fuel, he finds someone that will give him fuel. But when he finds exceptional people, he actually transforms their lives. He gives back.
Wow.
And it's such amazing. A great series. It's called The Kindness Diaries.
Okay. That sounds amazing. Okay. Yeah, like this one. Favorite song or album on repeat right now?
Well, right now what we do is we listen to any kind of Americana style music through internet radio. We discover so many new artists through that. So there isn't any one particular artist that is on repeat, but we're constantly listening to that Americana radio. So,
okay, very cool. And now, if you weren't doing this job, like in another multiverse, another world, what would you be doing with your life?
Well, I'm really not too sure what I would be doing, but I know it would involve helping people, you know, being an advocate for them. It's something that just sticks with, it's comes from my heart, and I know it would involve something like that.
Very cool. What's an app on your phone you just can't live without?
You're not going to like this, but I can live without any of them.
Yeah.
Really. They're really not necessary for a peaceful and fulfilling existence to me.
Yeah.
But for the techie in me, my password manager and my authentication app are two that I cannot live without.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
That's great. Favorite children's book?
There's a title that sticks with me from my elementary school days called The Gizmo from Outer Space. I can't remember what it's about. But the title sticks with me, so it must have meant something.
Yeah, that's awesome. best thing you bought for under $10?
Zip ties.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, they come in handy. It's kind of like the duct tape.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What is the most important thing you ever changed your mind about?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind are where I stand on organized religion. I was raised in a church-based family. My mother was fairly adamant about it. And then as I matured and grew older, I just lost confidence in organized religion. I'm still a very spiritual person. I just don't agree with the messages that are coming out of organized religion. So I think that was a big change for me.
Okay. Business or marketing book that you'd recommend?
I really haven't read any business or marketing books in decades. I guess through my early career, I would have devoured those kinds of things. You know, I have a book sitting on my desk right here, which I'm really enjoying. It's called The Creative Act, A Way of Being. And it's by Rick Rubin. And Rick Rubin is a music producer.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really enjoying the aspect of what the creative act is, what your mindset needs to be, and so on. So I think that really pertains to business. I think all businesses should really, business people should really, take a look at that book and apply a lot of what he talks about to their everyday activities.
And it's just a beautiful book, too.
Like, I don't know. Have you read it?
Yeah, I picked it up last time I was in a bookstore, and it's just gorgeous, and it's the content's amazing. You can just read it in bite-sized portions because it's so thick and meaty.
Absolutely. It's absolutely great.
No, that's an awesome one.
Yeah.
What is the best thing when it comes to like podcasts, when you just want to listen to ideas or thoughts? What are you putting on?
Marketing News Canada, man.
outside of this show.
I think,
or even just a newsletter or a website that you go to for like inspiration, resources, ideas.
I think, I'll stick with the podcast. There's one called 99% Invisible, and they talk about everyday design that's all around us that we just don't pay attention to. You know, things like the curb cuts on a corner of a curb and a sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that design come from, and so on? So it's absolutely fantastic. And I think another place that I really get a lot of inspiration is, I don't know if you've heard of The Future and Chris Doe.
He's awesome.
He's got a podcast. He does a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And he's
been on the show. He's come on the show.
Fantastic. He's actually a really big inspiration for me. He's really changed the way that I look at working with our clients and the approach that we take with our business and include our clients in that.
Yeah.
So love that.
That's amazing. Life hack that you'd be willing to share.
I think my favorite life hack is assume everything said or presented to you is untrue.
Mm.
It's not to say that everyone is intentionally lying to you, but what it does is it opens up your own ability to critique, to have that ability to research, look into it, not trust implicitly. I think that, just assuming that everything said or presented is untrue is a fairly healthy way of going through life.
Hmm. And tell me about this one. You're looking to hire new people. What do you look for in new hires? What do you think are some skills needed for this kind of new time and age?
Fearless. I think that, being able to put your fears aside and to forge ahead into the unknown, not worrying about what the worst that can happen, because it probably won't occur.
Yeah.
Always being able to say yes, even if you're unsure if you can do the job. We've had clients that have come to us asking for certain functions in a website or so on. And I had absolutely no idea how to accomplish it, but I said yes anyway. And, obviously a little scared, but we put that fear aside. We dove in, we did the research, and we produced a very successful project. And I don't know if you're familiar with Peter Drucker, but he had a quote that says, all profit is derived from risk. And so you're not going to be profitable in your business or in your life unless you take a risk. And it's not saying that you have to be risky all the time and flamboyant. You just manage your risk, but still take the leap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. I love that. Anyone else that you want to give shout outs to or anything else you want to leave listeners with today?
I just think, if you're in marketing or design, it's always keep your customer in mind, work on their behalf. Work for their benefit. Don't be afraid to walk away from a job if it's not a good fit.
Hmm.
That's basically the advice that I would give.
Amazing. Thank you for being on the show today. Really appreciate it.
I really appreciate you having me. Thanks a lot, Darian.
All those organizations, the radio station, websites mentioned, we're going to put those links in the show notes. Kenny Mack, InDig Design, thank you for being here. And we'll see you next time on the show.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and The Podfather.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy,
Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.